Got three passages of scripture I want to read. I want to read in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then I'm going to read just a few verses out of Deuteronomy chapter number 4. And then I'm going to go over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. Then I'll tell you what I'm going to be trying to preach on for just a few minutes. But this is something that has been on my heart for a couple of weeks, but it really has been more pressing on me this week. And as I read this, and you think, you know, I want you to think about how these verses tie together as we read them. Because what we're going to talk about this morning ties it all together. But I want to first read a very familiar scripture, very familiar verse, all of you will know, in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. It says this, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Amen. First part of the verse says, "If my people." Now, I want to come over to Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and read verse number 29, verse 30, and verse 31. Says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find them. If thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God, and will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget thy covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto thee." Then we'll go over to 1 John chapter number 1. In verse number 8 through verse number 10, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Now, what I want to share with you and what I want to try to preach around this morning is this word, "if." I've taught on this one time several years ago. I was looking back, Brother Tom, it was in 2014 when I spoke on this at Celebrate Recovery. But I was thinking about it this week, and I want you to think about the word "if." You read those verses, all three of them, and it comes down to this one word, "if." Without that word and without some participation, doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't do anything. The word "if" is in the Bible, the King James Bible, 1,420 times. You ever thought about the power of the word? And I began to think about it, and I thought, God, what's the impact? And of course, a lot of times I go to the dictionary, and what I have is an American Heritage Dictionary. It's about yay thick. It goes back to the early days, kind of like when you go, you know, I mentioned history class earlier and how it impacted me. I want to tell you something, history class has changed. You go to history class and you get you a Becca book, which is basically a homeschool book for a Christian school or a book used in Christian school. You're going to get a whole different philosophy about a lot of things that happened in the start of this country than you'll get from some of the new, what we call common core teaching. The definitions haven't changed. What happened hasn't changed. Sometimes the way that people teach it has. The word "if" is like this. It's in the event that, or allowing that, or even on condition that. Sometimes used as a function word introducing an exclamation or putting an exclamation on a statement. And I want to give you two statements that have been on my heart, and I said yesterday and I was meditating on these, and then we'll try to go through some points to give you some things from the Word of God. But have you ever thought about that things could be different or things could change if? Things could be different if. How many times have I sat and had that conversation with someone and I try to talk to them, whether it be something in their life? And I mentioned last week a life coach. You have no idea how many times I actually have that conversation with the HR people that I work with at work, and how many times I've even had that conversation with people in Celebrate Recovery. Things could be different if. But right now, we're in the time that things could be different. Let me tell you, if you're here this morning and you're in the house of the Lord, if you're praying for somebody, if they're still living, if they're still breathing, things can be different if. But when do we get to the point that we say this? Things could have been different if. See, things. Sometimes we get to that point that we look back and we think, well, things could have been different if. But I want to tell you something. I want everybody to understand this. Time's going to run out. And when time runs out, you can look back and you can say, things could have been different if. But if we're going to get things to be different and we're going to get things to be changed, we're going to have to move while we have breath. We're going to have to move while we have life. We're going to have to move while we have opportunity. And today we have opportunity. You know, I want to tell you, I'm glad that everybody's here. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. I love to be in church. I love to be around God's people. Yesterday, I went to the Piggly Wiggly with a list. My wife made me a list, and I didn't want to drive all the way to Walmart. We were over at the lake, so I went to the Piggly Wiggly. You don't have a lot of choices at the Piggly Wiggly, okay? I was looking for broccoli. They had one bag, one kind. I said, it'll have to work. That's kind of the way the whole store was. But I was going through the store, and as I walked down the back aisle, I come past, you know, I needed some bacon, and there was a lady standing there, and they said, oh, they've got this on sale, and she pointed it out. I'm glad they did, because it was written with a pen, and I wouldn't have seen it, and I needed two of them. That was the only deal I got, by the way. But the lady that handed it to me, I just overheard them talking. Folks, I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I'm glad I heard what I heard. There was a lady standing there that had met some people that were trying to buy a home, and she began to communicate with them, and she began to talk to them, and she said this, if you want to come to a church where you'll be welcome and you want to come to a place that's growing and thriving, she started telling them about her church, and she started telling them about the Lord, and she said, you know, if y'all come, and you know, the word if is in my heart and my mind. I hope it gets into yours, because if you do what you're supposed to do, it'll change your life. But she made the comment to him, and I was listening, and I couldn't help but hear the enthusiasm in her voice, so much so that I stood there a few minutes, and I thought, these two old ladies are going to think I'm stalking them. And I finally had to go on. I had three things on my list, and I thought, well, I want to meet this lady, but I'll run into her at the front of the store. They were still talking. Y'all ladies, sometimes y'all do that. So I had to go back to the back aisle, and they were still at it, and I said, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to thank you for the enthusiasm. I want to thank you for what you said about your pastor. I want to thank you for what you said about your church. She said, oh, was I talking too loud? I said, oh, no, ma'am, no, ma'am. I said, but thank you for sharing Jesus. She said, isn't that what we're supposed to do? And I said, yes, ma'am. I didn't mean to interrupt y'all. Just thank you. I want to know where they were going to church at. But you know, there's a lot of things around this word if we do what we're supposed to do now, things can be different. But how many times have we been in this situation and we see somebody's life or we see something going on and we think like this, things could have been different. It did not have to be the way that it was if they had only done the things that they need to do. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes I grieve when I see people that you've tried and done the very most that you can to try to guide them, to try to help them, to try to give them some words of wisdom and advice, and they just don't seem to move and go in the right direction. Sometimes it's absolutely heartbreaking to me, but here's the thing to understand. You have to accept responsibility. And when it comes to the word if, there are a lot of times what people aren't willing to do is they just aren't willing to do the things that they're supposed to do to see things be different. And without some type of acceptance of responsibility and some type of movement, things won't change. Nobody can live your life for you. Have you ever had a loved one that was lost and you think, if, here's that word, if I could, they'd be saved. I've used it like this, you know, step on the foot, the mouth comes open, salvation is poured down the throat, all of a sudden they're good. Doesn't work that way, does it? But doesn't it grieve your heart when you pray for people and you seek God on their behalf and you see them going down a path of destruction, you see them time after time making bad decisions, doing things that they shouldn't do? I counsel with people all the time and I tell them, if you want things to be different, you must be willing to make a change and to go down a different road, because if you keep going down the road you're going down, you're headed for destruction. Jeremiah 29:13. I'm going to move through these because I try to give you the points that are on my heart. Here it is. If we seek him, we shall find him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. If you want to be close to God, you can be close to God. If you want God's advice about the situations and the things going on in your life, you can have it. If you want God to be a part of your home and you want God to be a part of your life, he will. Because the Bible says that those who seek him find him when they search for him with all of their heart. The problem a lot of times with people is they're not willing to search for God with all of their heart because they're not willing to give up the things in the world that they're holding on to that they know are not pleasing to God. You see, the Bible teaches us that if we call upon him, that he will answer us. And if we want to be close to God, we can. But the question really is, do you really want to be close to God? Do you really want to have God in your life? If you do, you can. It's up to you. You know, the next one is this, and this is something that God had taught me really when I was a young preacher. And I used this, and I shared it a couple of weeks ago when Brother Ty was preaching, and I tried to talk to him about this as well, because I can remember, you know, thinking that, you know, I just don't measure up. I can't preach like these preachers. I grew up around men of God that had so much power in the pulpit. Some of them, you know, it just seems like God was all over them. And I thought, Lord, I'm not like them. It would be my time to preach and I would walk up behind the pulpit and, you know, I would be on fire for 5 minutes and I'm done. And I thought, God, will I ever? Have you ever felt like you'll never measure up to what somebody else thinks you ought to be? Forget it. If you want to measure up, seek God and his advice and his will and try to be what he wants you to be. I just decided that I had to just be what God wanted me to be. I'd never be like somebody else. And I remember going to a church up in Douglasville, and it was a youth Sunday, and I preached, and in just a few minutes I was done, and I went to give the invitation. I called the pastor up, and I thought, Lord, I can't do this. I'm not sufficient. And when the invitation was given, people came. Now, folks, it was a little church. There might have been 60 people there at most. Two people came down and they got saved. 7 people came to the altar and rededicated their heart to God. It wasn't because of that little preacher, because he didn't do nothing. But God spoke to me, and God used it audibly in my spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, if you do your part, I will do mine. You see, one thing you need to understand as you're serving the Lord is it's not your work, it's His. Can we not forget, let's remember our motto, it's not about us, it's about Him. And if we give God all the glory, there's no telling what God might do. And I realized that day, He said, you're not here preaching this word because you're anything. It's my word. You do your part and I'll do mine. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, the latter part of the verse says this, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing is impossible to you. And here's the thing to understand, God just needs a little bit. There's a movie that I watched not long ago, and the name of it was Little Boy. And it was about a little boy whose dad went to war during World War II. And he loved his dad so much that he had this verse of Scripture was shared with him by the preacher, and he literally believed the Word of God. And he went out every day and he would stand and he would look across the ocean. Now, it was a little funny because he would do something like this, you know, like lightning bolt. But he was praying and he was seeking God, bring my daddy back. How many times do we say we want something from God, but do we even ask Him to move on our behalf? You know, I'd love to be able to say, God, here's what I want done. Let's do it. You ever get like that with God? Sometimes I do. I say, all right, Lord. Doesn't work that way, does it? You know, but what it does teach us is how we ought to rely on God, trust God, pray to God. Have you ever said, if I only had, and you fill in the blank, I'd be fine? Is that really true? I remember times when I was teaching young couples classes, and a lot of times, well, what it was, and it's like this. You know, when you first get married, you got all the bills and none of the money. You know, the kids are born, but praise God, you've got some nerve, because I don't have that like I used to. My grandkids come. Oh, I love them. I hug them. They go to screaming. I'm thinking, I don't say it, but I'm thinking, oh, when are they going home? Love them. Then the next day, you're crying because they're gone. But I remember teaching a young people's class, and we had so many young couples in there, and all of them had little kids, and all of them were trying to start a life, and, you know, trying to do this, and this is breaking down, and trying to fix that. And I can remember asking the question, we were talking about finances, how much would it be? And you know what people stand up and say, if I just had $100 more a week. One guy said, I need $300 more. Now, some of you today might say, if I only had 500 more. You know there's always going to be those times in your life, but here's what it tells us, and this is what's important. You got to do your part. If we do our part, then I believe God will do His. Sometimes our expectation is what the problem is. It's not God's ability to answer prayer. It's not God's ability to move on our behalf. But we're not willing to do the things that we're supposed to do to be in the place that God wants us to be in at that time in our life. You know, because what God wants us to do as His children, to do our part, is He wants us to minister our lives back to Him. Now, here's the thing to understand about that. That starts when you get saved, and it lasts until you leave this life. Sometimes people say, I've heard people say, well, you know, I retired. How do you retire on God? Now, I get it that maybe you're not the senior pastor anymore. I've seen churches that have Pastor Emeritus, but I want to tell you something. Your personal testimony is something that you carry with you throughout your entire life. It's something you got at school. It's something you're going to have At work, it's something you're going to have with your neighbors. And thank God it's something that I saw at the Piggly Wiggly. It encouraged me. Let me think you about this one. Think about this. Here's number three. If we obey him, he will bless us. But doesn't the scripture also say something that if we disobey him? You know, over here in Deuteronomy chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 26, it says this. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after the other gods which you have not known. Do we really believe that we can just live any way that we want and there not be any consequences? In Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 7, and it's in the book from the beginning to the end. We may go back to 1 John chapter 1 in just a minute. But in Genesis chapter 4, the first book of the Bible, verse 7, the words were spoken, says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. You know, if we obey him, he will bless us. If we disobey him, you know, sometimes what happens is we are left to the consequences of the life that we have chosen. You know, God doesn't have to come down with a big stick, and sometimes that's the way people look at God. You know, what God wants to do is bless you. What God wants to do is pour out blessings on your life. God wants to pour out blessings on America, and truly, folks, he has. But sometimes all God has to do is just say, okay, you've chosen to walk away from me. You've chosen to disobey me. These are the circumstances of the choices that you've made. You know, what I want more than that is I want God's hand of blessing. And if I'm going to have God's hand on anything in my life, then I must look up to him and do the best that I can with the limited abilities that I have to honor him with my life. To honor him the way that I live and the things that I say. Am I going to make mistakes? Well, in the flesh, yes. But let me tell you something. It's one thing to make a mistake. It's another thing to be living in sin and think you're going to mock God and God not do anything about it. Amen. If we want God's blessing, if we obey him, he will bless us. But if we disobey him, all God has to do, really, and this is what scares me the most in my life, is remove his hand. You know, sometimes people talk about, you know, we've lost a job. Most of us have been through that. You know, you go through a pandemic or you go through job changes, you go through companies changing, and sometimes even in our lives we change, and sometimes people can't make it in life and they seem to go different ways and people make decisions that affect them. And I get all of those things, but you know what I fear more than anything else is God saying, you've walked away from me, you don't want my hand on your life? All right. See, I can lose this job and go to that one. I still want God's hand to bless me over there. Amen. I want God to guide me to the place that he wants me to go. If I have to move from this house to that house, I still want God to walk with me. I don't want Ichabod to be written over the door. I want God to be a part of my life. Amen. Amen. And I ask him to do that. Because if I walk with him, he said he'd walk with me. And I want to give you this last thought. I want you to think about your relationship with God. I want you to think about what I said. Things could have been different if. But if you're here today, things could be different if. You see, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, today you can meet him. You can meet him right where you're at. But when you're not going to make a change, it's when you stand before God and you didn't make a decision when you had an opportunity. What you're going to remember is you're going to remember this message when the preacher said things could have been different if. But today, things can be. Romans 10 and 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, the Bible says you will be saved. Amen. You know, a lot of times in America today, I think the problem with people is they think they're too smart for God. They're too big for God. You know, a lot of these intellectuals, I heard it was a political thing several years ago that they were actually trying to get away with mocking Christians even when they were candidates, saying, you know, can you really vote for a person that actually believes in God? Do they think they're God? Do they think they're going to live forever? You know, one thing about being a Christian and a pastor, and y'all understand this too, we got a big family, okay? And sometimes having such a big family and such a big relationships with people, you got a lot of joy. You got a lot of celebration. You got a lot of love. But sometimes we have a lot of loss. We've had a lot of funerals. We've had a lot of friends and loved ones pass away. But here's our celebration as Christians, and this is something the world just don't get a hold of. Our loved ones, our family, our church family, they've gone to be with God.
Amen.
We're going to see them again. But sometimes they's hurt. What I don't understand when a person that don't come to God and they think it's funny, where do they think they're going to spend eternity? What do they do when their loved ones pass? They push it aside. They pretend. Maybe they think they're their own God. You see, one thing that I believe and understand is that the whole world could be saved if they would only believe and receive. You see, America, and I think we'd all agree, America needs revival.
Amen.
America could have revival if they would call on God. But a lot of what I believe people are not willing to do is they're not willing to call on God because they are not willing to submit to God. See, the Bible says that it's coming, it's inevitable that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The people that mock Christianity, that mock Christians, that stand up and are promoting all of this crazy stuff that's going on in the world today, that when I look at it, I can't even fathom it. Coming down the road with my son this morning, we mentioned a couple of things. I said, son, I don't understand it, but let me just tell you, I am glad that I don't understand why a man would want to kiss another man. I don't have a problem saying that. I don't care how politically incorrect that is. I look at this world today and I think, God, I can't even get a hold of this to understand it. And then I read the Bible, and God told us, if this persists and these things happen, this is where you're headed. But can I tell you, in America today, if we wanted to, we could still have revival, because 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. You say, well, you know, you sound so intolerant and you sound like you don't care. Folks, I care. Can I tell you, as Christians, our job is to love people. Welcome them, help them, do the best we can, But you don't love people that you're not willing to tell the truth. When you don't tell people the truth, you're loving them to death. And sometimes, unfortunately, that can be the people that on this earth are often the closest to us. Because sometimes, and I want you to understand this, if you tell them the truth and they reject God, they're probably going to reject you too. But you got to remember, when they reject Him and they reject you because you represent Him, don't take it upon yourself as you're something. They're rejecting Him. In a world that rejects God, that's not willing to come to God, that's not willing to do the things that they need to do to make a change in their life, you know, they could, if they wanted to, if they would, but you got to want to. Every person in this building has some kind of testimony. You've got some kind of past. Sometimes people talk about it a little bit. Sometimes they don't talk about it at all. Sometimes people don't want it to be known. But the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And I want us to stay with that verse there for just a minute, and I'm almost done. And can I tell you, the word don't belong to me. It belongs to God. I don't make the rules. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't like that. Where'd you get it? Well, I didn't write this. And I open it up. And I come over here to where we were at in Deuteronomy. And it's so many years B.C. And it kind of teaches the same thing that as you come over here in 1 John and it's A.D. 90. I didn't write it. But here's the thing. I'm not God. You're not God. But everybody here today has the opportunity, if we will do the things that we need to do. It's up to you. It's up to me. If you'll do what you're supposed to do. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. I'm going to ask them to come with a song. And I want you to know this. I believe this with all my heart.